Returning now for more news, our next item comes from page A12 and is headlined Drone Swarm Warfare Fuels a New Arms Race by Frank Bajek of the Associated Press. As their rivalry intensifies, U.S. and Chinese military planners are gearing up for a new kind of warfare in which squadrons of air and sea drones equipped with artificial intelligence work together like a swarm of bees to overwhelm an enemy. The planners envision a scenario in which hundreds, even thousands of the machines engage in coordinated battle. A single controller might oversee dozens of drones. Some would scout, others attack. Some would be able to pivot to new objectives in the middle of a mission based on prior programming rather than a direct order. The world's only AI superpowers are engaged in an arms race for swarming drones that is reminiscent of the Cold War, except drone technology will be far more difficult to contain than nuclear weapons. Because software drives the drone's swarming abilities, it could be relatively easy and cheap for rogue nations and militants to acquire their own fleets of killer robots. The Pentagon is pushing urgent development of inexpensive, expendable drones as a deterrent against China acting on its territorial claim on Taiwan. Washington says it has no choice but to keep pace with Beijing. Chinese officials say AI-enabled weapons are inevitable, so they too must have them. The unchecked spread of swarm technology could lead to more instability and conflict around the world, said Margarita Konaev, an analyst with Georgetown University's Center for Security and Emerging Technology. As the undisputed leaders in the field, Washington and Beijing are best equipped to set an example by putting limits on military uses of drone swarms. But their intense competition, China's military aggression in the South China Sea, and persistent tensions over Taiwan make the prospect of cooperation look dim. The idea is not new. The United Nations has tried for more than a decade to advance drone non-proliferation efforts that could include limits such as forbidding the targeting of civilians or banning the use of swarms for ethnic cleansing. Drones have been a priority for both powers for years, and each side has kept its advances secret, so it's unclear which country might have an edge. It's not clear how many drones a single person would control. A spokesman for the Defense Secretary declined to say, but a recently published Pentagon-backed study offers a clue. A single operator supervised a swarm of more than 100 cheap air and land drones in late 2021 in an urban warfare exercise at an Army training site at Fort Campbell, Tennessee. Not to be outdone, China's military claimed last year that dozens of aerial drones self-healed after jamming cut their communications. An official documentary said they regrouped, switched to self-guidance, and completed a search-and-destroy mission unaided, detonating explosive-laden drones on a target. A year ago, CIA Director William Burns said Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping had instructed his military to be ready by 2027 to invade Taiwan. But that doesn't mean an invasion is likely. Just before he died last year, former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger urged Beijing and Washington to work together to discourage AI arms proliferation. They have a narrow window of opportunity, he said. Xi and President Joe Biden made a verbal agreement in November to set up working groups on AI safety, but that effort has so far taken a back seat to the arms race for autonomous drones. The competition is not apt to build trust or reduce the risk of conflict, said William Harting, a senior research fellow at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. If the U.S. is going full speed ahead, it's most likely China will accelerate whatever it's doing, Hartung said. There's a risk China could offer swarm technology to U.S. foes or repressive countries, analysts say. Or it could be stolen. Other countries developing the tech, such as Russia, Israel, Iran, and Turkey, could also spread the know-how. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said in January that U.S.-China talks set to begin sometime this spring will address AI safety. Neither the Defense Secretary nor the National Security Council would comment on whether the military use of drone swarms might be on the agenda. Military analysts, drone makers, and AI researchers don't expect fully capable combat-ready swarms to be fielded for 5 years or so, though big breakthroughs could happen sooner. The Chinese have an edge in hardware right now. I think we have an edge in software, said CEO Adam Bry of U.S. drone maker Skydio, which supplies the Army, the Drug Enforcement Agency, and the State Department, among other agencies. Just before he died last year, former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger urged Beijing and Washington to work together to discourage AI arms proliferation. They have a narrow window of opportunity, he said. And that article from page A12 was Drone Swarm Warfare Fuels a New Arms Race by Frank Bajic of the Associated Press. Jenny?
Thank you, Steve. And our next article comes from the business section on A8, Clean Energy Facility Planned in Chesterfield. And it's by Thad Green of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Topso, a Danish company that provides carbon emission reduction technologies worldwide, announced it will build a manufacturing facility in Chesterfield County. The facility is being aided by nearly $136 million in tax credits that Topso received as a result of the Inflation Reduction Act, which provides provisions and tax credits to incentivize clean energy investments. The project is expected to bring more than $400 million in investments and at least 150 new jobs to Virginia. The exact location of the facility has not yet been disclosed, but the company said more announcements would follow in the coming weeks. I am thrilled that Topso has chosen the great Commonwealth of Virginia for its new state-of-the-art factory that will be key to scaling clean hydrogen production, said Governor Glenn Youngkin. Virginia's robust workforce, strategic location, and top business climate provide the necessary tools for Topso to continue to grow as a leader in the clean energy industry. Democratic Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine and Representative Jennifer McClellan, Democrat of the 4th, put out a joint news release about the project. Thanks to tax credits from this landmark law, Virginia will continue to power our nation and lead the clean energy transition by creating good-paying manufacturing jobs across the Commonwealth, Warner said in a statement. Topso manufactures solid oxide electrolyzer cells that help produce clean hydrogen. Through legislation like the Inflation Reduction Act and strong support from individual states such as Virginia, the U.S. government is helping to accelerate the clean energy transition, said Topso CEO Roland Bond. Without strong dedication to innovation, we will help the U.S. With our strong dedication to innovation, we will help the U.S. achieve its goals of driving down the cost of clean hydrogen and delivering clean energy jobs. Warner, Kaine, and McClellan wrote a letter to the U.S. Department of Energy advocating for the project. I will continue fighting with Senators Warner and Kaine to supercharge our transition to a clean energy future and bring federal investments to our Commonwealth, McClellan said. Topso's tax credit came through the Department of Energy's Advanced Energy Project Credit, a 48C program, that was expanded as part of the IRA. The credit covers 30% of the amount invested in new or upgraded facilities that build renewable energy components. Chesterfield is pleased to be the location for Topso's largest U.S. investment on record, said Matt McLaren, Deputy Director of Business Attraction for Chesterfield Economic Development. This announcement builds upon previous investments from leading international firms, and we look forward to announcing more details of this project in the coming weeks. Due to the retirement of a coal-fired power plant near Chesterfield, the county qualified for a set-aside in the 48C program for coal communities. I'm thrilled that Topso will be setting up a state-of-the-art facility in Chesterfield County to help manufacture clean energy components, Kaine said. I look forward to seeing how this project will boost economic growth, create jobs, and help us build a clean energy future. And again, that article from the business section A8, Clean Energy Facility Planned in Chesterfield, and it's by Thad Green of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Steve?
Thank you, Jenny. Next from the business page, A8, is Immigrant Workers Fuel Economic Growth The influx is helping to stave off a recession and beef up the job market, by Paul Wiseman, Gisela Salomon, and Christopher Rugeber of the Associated Press. Dateline, Miami. Having fled economic and political chaos in Venezuela, Luisana Silva now loads carpets for a South Carolina rug company. She earns enough to pay rent, buy groceries, gas up her car, and send money home to her parents. Reaching the United States was a harrowing ordeal. Silva, 25, her husband, and their then 7-year-old daughter braved the jungles of Panama's Darien Gap, traveled the length of Mexico, crossed the Rio Grande, and then turned themselves in to the U.S. Border Patrol in Brownsville, Texas. Seeking asylum, they received a work permit last year and found jobs in Rock Hill, South Carolina. My plan is to help my family that much need the money and to grow economically here, Silva said. Her story amounts to far more than one family's arduous quest for a better life. The millions of jobs that Silva and other new immigrant arrivals have been filling in the United States appear to solve a riddle that has confounded economists for at least a year. How has the economy managed to prosper, adding hundreds of thousands of jobs month after month at a time when the Federal Reserve has aggressively raised interest rates to fight inflation, normally a recipe for a recession? Increasingly, the answer appears to be immigrants. The influx of foreign-born adults vastly raised the supply of available workers after a U.S. labor shortage had left many companies unable to fill jobs. More workers filling more jobs and spending more money has helped drive economic growth and create still more job openings. The availability of immigrant workers eased the pressure on companies to sharply raise wages and to then pass on their higher labor costs via higher prices that feed inflation. Though U.S. inflation remains elevated, it has plummeted from its levels of 2 years ago. And that article from page A8 was Immigrant Workers Fuel Economic Growth. The influx is helping to stave off recession and beef up the job market, by Paul Wiseman, Gisela Salomon, and Christopher Rugeber of the Associated Press. Jenny?
Thank you, Steve. And our last business article on page A8, Wall Street Closes Another Losing Week. And it's by Stan Cho of the Associated Press. Dateline, New York. The worst week for big technology stocks since the COVID-19 crash in 2020 dragged Wall Street on Friday across the finish line of another losing week. The S&P 500 dropped 0.9% to close out its third straight losing week. That's its longest such streak since September, before a romp that sent it to record highs this year. The NASDAQ composite sank 2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, which has less emphasis on tech, was an outlier and rose 211 points, or 0.6%. The market's worst performers included several stocks that had been its biggest stars. Supermicro Computer lost more than a fifth of its value, dropping 23.1%. The company, which sells server and storage systems used in AI and other computing, soared nearly 227% for the year coming into the day. NVIDIA, another stock that surged due to Wall Street's frenzy around artificial intelligence technology, also gave up some recent gains. It slumped 10% and was the heaviest single weight on the S&P 500 due to its huge size. Tech stocks in the S&P 500 broadly lost 7.3% this week for their worst performance since March 2020, as some global giants reported discouraging trends. The larger threat was an acknowledgement sweeping Wall Street that interest rates may stay high for longer. Top Fed officials said this past week that they could hold interest rates high for a while after earlier signaling 3 cuts could be possible this year. High rates hurt prices for all kinds of investments. Fed officials want to see additional proof inflation is heading down towards their 2% target before lowering the Fed's main interest rate, which is at its highest level since 2001. Reports this year show inflation remained hotter than expected. Netflix sank 9.1% despite reporting stronger profits for the latest quarter than expected. the streaming giant disappointed some investors by saying it will stop giving updates on its subscriber numbers every 3 months beginning next year. And again, that business article on page A8, Wall Street closes another losing week. And it was from Stan Cho of the Associated Press. Steve?
Thank you, Jenny. Returning now to the Nation and World section, we have today's digest items. The first out of Kyiv, Ukraine, is Ukraine Air Force says it downed a Russian bomber. Ukraine's Air Force claimed Friday it shot down a Russian strategic bomber, but Moscow officials said the plane crashed in a sparsely populated area due to a malfunction after a combat mission. Neither claim could be independently verified. Meanwhile, Russian missiles struck cities in the Dnipro region of Ukraine, killing 8 people, including a 14-year-old girl and 8-year-old boy, and injuring 28, officials there said. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky repeated Kyiv officials' appeals for more Western air defense systems, again drawing a parallel with how Israel blunted a recent Iranian attack. Missile and drone attacks can be thwarted, he wrote on social media. This has been demonstrated in the skies over the Middle East, and it should also work in Europe. Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba added, children must not be killed in airstrikes in modern Europe. And that item was Ukraine Air Force says it downed a Russian bomber. Next, out of Washington, Proud Boys leader gets prison in a capital attack. A far-right extremist group leader was sentenced Friday to more than 5 years in prison for assaulting police officers during a mob's attack on the U.S. Capitol. Scott Miller, 33, who helped lead a Proud Boys chapter for Maryland and Washington, D.C., coordinated with other members before they invaded the Capitol on January 6, 2021, according to federal prosecutors. Miller attacked police 7 times with weapons that included a bottle, a stick, and poles. Notes found on Miller's cell phone indicate that his white supremacist ideology and anti-Semitic views influenced his decision to storm the Capitol. A prosecutor wrote in a filing, he expressed his intent to fight to protect white America, the filing says. Investigators found Nazi paraphernalia and memes promoting racially motivated violence when they searched his Millersville, Maryland home and phone. And that item was Proud Boys leader gets prison in capital attack. Next, in the briefs section, out of Washington, agencies agree to help distribute Gaza supplies. The UN World Food Program agreed to help deliver aid for the starving civilians of Gaza once the U.S. military completes a pier for transporting the humanitarian assistance by sea, U.S. officials said Friday. The involvement of the UN agency could help resolve one of the major obstacles facing the U.S. planned project, the reluctance of aid groups to handle on-the-ground distribution of food and other badly needed goods in Gaza, absent significant changes by Israel. An Israeli military attack April 1st that killed 7 aid workers from the World Central Kitchen charity intensified international criticism of Israel for failing to provide security for humanitarian workers or allow adequate amounts of aid across its land borders. The U.S. Agency for International Development confirmed it would partner with the WFP on delivering aid to Gaza. And that item was agencies agreed to help distribute Gaza supplies. Next, also out of Washington, U.S. imposes sanctions over West Bank violence, which I believe is an item that we already read, so I'll move on to the briefly items. The first, chemicals. The Environmental Protection Agency designated PFOA and PFOS, 2 forever chemicals used in cookware, carpets, and firefighting foams as hazardous substances Friday to ensure quicker cleanup of the toxic compounds and require those responsible for contamination to pay for its removal. Out of China, Apple said it removed Meta's WhatsApp and Threads apps from the App Store in China on Friday to comply with orders from Chinese authorities who cited unspecified national security concerns amid tensions between the U.S. and China. Korean tensions. North Korea said Saturday it tested a large cruise missile warhead and a new anti-aircraft missile in a western coastal area as it expands military capabilities amid tensions with the U.S. and South Korea. Conservation. The Biden administration said Friday it will restrict new oil and gas leasing on 13 million acres of a federal petroleum reserve in Alaska to help protect wildlife as the Arctic continues to warm. And from Paris, a man wearing a fake explosive vest and making threats was detained Friday outside the Iranian consulate in Paris after a lockdown in the area, authorities said. His motive was unclear. The incident came amid heightened tensions in the Middle East and as Paris gears up to host the Summer Olympics. From Mexico, a mayoral candidate in a northern Mexico border state was killed Friday, the 16th political hopeful slain ahead of June 2nd national elections that are shaping up to be the country's most violent on record. And finally, floods. Three people died in the United Arab Emirates due to flooding caused by record rains this week, officials said. And those were today's digest and briefly items from the Associated Press. Jenny?
Thank you very much, Steve. And that's all the time we have for reading today's April 20th Richmond Times-Dispatch. I'm Jenny Meeks, along with
Steve Bush
for Virginia Voice. This program is brought to you by the generous support of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.